They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed. Now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked him. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" "We know he's our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see."
Well, who doesn't love a good story of transformation? There are endless varieties on the TV, and this one is one that I'm particularly fond of. Kirsty and Phil, Love It or List It. And it's where, under Kirsty's forthright and inspiration, people are encouraged to transform their home with the hope that it helps them make the decision whether to continue to live in it or whether to sell it. So, Love It or List It. Gardens are in on the act too, with good old Charlie Dimmock and Alan Titchmarsh and others. So here's a before photo and an after photo. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? I quite like that one. But sometimes transformation is a little bit more subtle. So here we go, we have two minis. They're both quite retro. They're stylish, iconic, perfectly suitable for bombing around our daily life or stealing gold, if you like the Italian job. But one is powered by petrol, that's the one on towards the top, and the other one has been converted to electric. So although they look exactly the same, in fact, they are powered by completely different power things. Can't think of that word anymore. They're both wonderful to drive. It's not that one is better than the other, but they are actually very different. One, of course, has been transformed in line with the vision of a higher policy. The government for on this occasion. And it's part of a greater vision, isn't it, of becoming more green. This morning, we are continuing in our series on what we might have confidence in. We're looking about this morning about how we might be confident that God changes lives. So I'm just going to begin by taking a quick dive into the blind man's story that we heard Dave read about, as he gets changed by Jesus. So for context, a blind man back in the biblical times, he would have been an outcast of society. He wouldn't have been allowed in the synagogue, which was a very central place of meeting, of prayer, worship, teaching, and just meeting up with your friends. He would have been a beggar and a pauper. There was even time at that time thinking that sickness is caused by sin, kind of by personal sin. And so there was a great deal of shame around his condition. Jesus actually kicked that idea into touch pretty quickly in the verses preceding what we heard this morning. But some people, there is some thought that continues today about that. So when the man received his sight, he must have just thought that all his dreams had just come true. The one thing that he wanted in his life to receive his sight had happened. Now he would be able to enter the synagogue. He would be able to take his place in community. He would be able to be a son and a provider. Instead of which, he found himself in the middle of a heated debate as to whether it's possible for God to heal on the Sabbath. And although that might sound slightly bonkers to us today in the 21st century, it was a very real debate back then about what you could or couldn't do on the Sabbath. The power of this man's story. And actually, Rupert spoke so movingly about the power of our stories last week. And if you weren't able to be with us, I do recommend that you go onto our website, our St. Francis website, and under the Sunday tab, the talks are recorded and are there for you to listen to again. But the power of this man's story is that he was basically saying, I have no idea about the theological, what's happened theologically to me. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. In the face of the debate that was going on around him, the disbelief, and to be honest, intimidation too, this man's simple testimony shone through. All I know is that I was blind, and now I see, and Jesus did it. It was his own testimony of his encounter with Jesus that gave him that confidence to stand up in front of that level of intimidation. The Christian church faces similar debates today. It's common and even considered fair game, really, to knock the Christian faith. Ricky Gervais and Stephen Fry are particularly verbose. But generally, as a society, we have believed the lie that science and faith cannot meet, the intellect and faith cannot meet, or that there's no such thing as universal truth. Your truth is as valid as my truth, that sort of thing. Within the church itself, and the Anglican one is not alone in this, there is deep division over what it looks like to encounter and be changed by Jesus. So in the context of our own culture today, how might we have confidence of our testimony that God changes lives? I've just got two things, really. Firstly, we can have confidence because it's Jesus who does the changing. He is in the business of redemption, of healing, of mending, restoring, making all things new. And not just me in my little sphere of needs and demands, not just you in your own sphere, but far, far wider and greater than that. We had an Easter banner up at St. Andrew's Church in Laverstock, where the church I have come from, that said at Easter, it's the weekend that changed the world. And I like that. I liked it at the time, and I still like it now. Except, you know, I think it's much bigger than that. It was bigger than the weekend. And it was bigger than the world, what happened when Jesus came. For 2,000 years, folks have been pondering and praying over the impact of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. What is it about? What's the impact? What's the fruit? His life and the Bible narrative has been endlessly studied and dissected with all sorts of different conclusions drawn, as you might expect, over 2,000 years. But they do have themes in common. The life of Jesus is something about the human life lived in total harmony with God. So that all that brings goodness and healing, there's something about Jesus' life that is in total communion with God and what God desires. The death of Jesus is something about gathering up all that is broken, all that is failed and lifeless in this universe, gathering it all together. And the resurrection of Jesus displays the reality that violence and death is not the last word. It's not the end game. His new life breathes new life and reconciliation into all creation, so that it is becoming, it's on a journey of becoming what God intended it to be. Rowan Williams wrote many books. Rowan Williams wrote this book, God With Us, and I do really recommend it. It's short, unlike some of Rowan Williams' books, but it's really deep, really powerful stuff, and it focuses in on kind of the various thoughts and theories about the death and resurrection of Jesus. I thoroughly recommend it. When we say yes to Jesus, we are joining a journey that has a fulfillment and conclusion with God's redeeming work in sight. We are on our way to a new heaven and a new earth. The desire we have inside of ourselves for justice, for peace, for health, for purpose, for meaning, for love, it's all part of the outworking of this scheme of change. The brokenness of this world that we see all around us and within us is not the only narrative that's going on, overwhelming though it can be at times. If we have eyes and heart to see, God is relentlessly working his change in us and around us. So we can have confidence that Jesus changes our lives, because that's what he's all about. Secondly, we can have confidence that Jesus changes lives through our own lived experiences or that of others, though that may hold some surprises. So back to our friend, the blind man. His life-changing moment had come. He had his sight. He is taken to the synagogue, the center of his community. He is with his parents, all he had ever dreamed of. But if you read further on in that narrative, that dream lasts for about 2 hours. Actually, I'm making up that time frame, but it was really, really short time when, following that debate, he was actually thrown out of the synagogue. His dream was snatched away. This is no fairy tale ending for the blind man, or the blind man who can see. The chaos and injustice of his world around him was still impacting him. His life hadn't become better than anybody else's, but his life was changed by his encounter with Jesus. Down through the ages, despite the weaknesses and failings of the church, Christians have been empowered by their encounter with Jesus, and it has changed them. They have often been at the forefront of social reform, care, peacemaking, and justice. There was a podcast earlier this week, which you may or may not have heard. It's Leading, The Rest Is Politics. And it's where Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart interview various people. And they interviewed Justin Welby. If you haven't heard of it, then you may not know there has been quite a furore around it. But it would be a pity if the Ferrari overshadowed all the other things that Justin Welby said. His encounter with Jesus changed his responses to a really difficult childhood where he was brought up by two alcoholic parents. More recently, you may remember that there were revelations about who his actual father was. It wasn't the person that he thought it was. And he spoke very movingly and in the public eye of where he found his identity, and it wasn't with his parents, biological or bringing up parents, it was in Christ. And his life actually has been devoted to a life of service, of working for peace and justice. That's what encountering Jesus has done to Justin Welby. I have no spectacular story of my own of encountering Jesus, but as I grew up and explored the Christian faith, I realized that this was something that I wanted to live by. I wanted to live with Jesus, and I wanted him to live with me. And I hoped for some positive changes in my life. This copse kind of illustrates a little bit of what I hoped my life would be like. I hope you can see it. It was in the winter, so the light isn't great. But, you know, these trees, they look like they know what they're doing, don't they? They look like they've kind of grown up, stretching to the sky, just like trees are meant to do, aren't they? There's something rather... This was near Oddstock, the village of Oddstock, and when I came across this copse, there was just something really beautiful about it that was really attractive. Orderly, purposeful, that's what I hoped my life would be like. Instead of which, my life has been more like the picture on the right. This is a copse that I came across near Herdcock, not far from here. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, Lordy, I think I recognise that. Within the changes that Jesus has brought to my life, there has been twists and turns. There's been a mix of highs and lows. There has been some really good decisions that I've made and some seriously bad ones. I've had amazing revelations of the mercy and love of God. And I have had times of heart-numbing despair. It turns out that my life has been very different to what I'd hoped for. And perhaps I haven't got so very much to be proud of after all. It's not that my life is any better than anybody else's, having encountered and walked with Jesus. But I have found, in the midst of that chaos revealed in that copse, I have found a song of hope and joy. A song of hope and joy that sustains me and will sustain me, whatever the future holds, and it will be, God willing, on my lips forever. Friends, there's so much that we don't understand about what God is doing in this world, isn't there? There's so much that we don't understand about what he's doing in us. Our lives may not reflect the dramatic changes that we had perhaps once hoped for. But make no mistake, when we say yes to Jesus, our lives are as different and as changed as those two red minis. As we get caught up in God's master plan, his master plan of bringing hope and healing and restoration. And against that, there is no argument. When it becomes our story, there is no argument. And so, dear friends, that is why we can be confident that Jesus changes lives. Amen to that.